From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Florida is known as the Sunshine State, but it ranks nowhere near the top when it comes to home solar systems. A February article by Bloomberg Business says Florida is 15th in the country for those systems, trailing behind states like Texas and California. The answer as to why Florida is not capitalizing on sunshine comes back to policy and cost. We'll be joined by a panel of guests looking at solar policies in Florida, how large utilities are thinking about solar, and a coalition of people trying to get solar on the ballot. Plus, the Florida legislature convened its annual legislative session this month without passing measures aimed at regulating hydraulic fracturing in Florida, leaving the practice unregulated. We'll explore risks and benefits, efforts to regulate the practice, and the potential future of fracking in the Sunshine State. That's ahead. First, this news.
Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for being with us. Hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, is a technique for releasing oil or natural gas from underground by fracturing deep rock formations with pressurized water, sand, and other chemicals. The process remains controversial in Florida and around the nation. Proponents point to fracking's economic benefits and say it can help provide energy here in Florida, where about 60% of the overall electricity produced comes from natural gas. Opponents highlight Florida's unique geology and hydrology, saying the scientific data to show that fracking is safe just isn't there. They also point to environmental concerns such as the risks of groundwater contamination and the amount of water used in the process. State Representative Ray Rodriguez sponsored legislation this year that would have required companies to inform the State Department of Environmental Protection of the chemicals they use in fracking activity and to have that listed on a national registry. Another measure sponsored by Representative Rodriguez would have allowed DEP officials to exempt chemicals used in fracking from public disclosure as company trade secrets. Neither of those bills made it through this year's legislative session, leaving hydraulic fracturing unregulated in Florida. Joining me now in studio to explore the benefits and risks and future of fracking here in Florida is Representative Rodriguez. He represents Florida State House District 76, which includes largely coastal portions of Lee County. Representative Rodriguez, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And also joining us is Jennifer Hecker. She's Director of Natural Resource Policy at the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. Jennifer Hecker, welcome back.
Thank you for having us.
And I invite listeners to join our conversation as well. What questions, concerns, or comments do you have regarding fracking here in Florida? Connect with our guests with a phone call to 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. You can post comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media, send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org, or join the live Twitter chat using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. And Representative Rodriguez, I wanted to start with you. First of all, tell us a little bit more in detail about the fracking-related bills you filed this session and what the impetus was for you behind sponsoring those measures.
Sure. In my first session, which was in 2013, I filed a bill that would have required the disclosure of chemicals that would be used in fracking. At that point, it was on the radar that fracking was a very real possibility in the state, but it had not occurred and it was not projected to occur on a regular basis in the immediate horizon. So my feeling was, let's get the regulatory framework in place before it happens and move forward. We got that bill passed through the House. Unfortunately, it did not pass the Senate in 2013. Filed the bill again in 2014, and with that being an election year, partisan politics really reared its head in both chambers on this matter. And whereas in 2013 I had bipartisan support as the bill cleared the House, it was only passing committee with partisan support. And this was really too big an issue to ram through based on our partisan majority. So I quit pushing the bill. And what happened was at the end of that session, we learned that fracking had actually occurred down in Collier County, December 31st, 2013, and January 1, 2014. So we moved beyond this is theoretical, it could be occurring here in Florida, mm-hmm. to we know that this is real and it has happened. It will likely happen again. So this session, in addition to the disclosure, we wanted to take a look at our regulatory framework that exists for oil and gas because it was clear, based on what happened in Collier County, that the technology has exceeded our existing statutes. And so I'm pleased to say that we got House Bill 1205 passed in the House. Unfortunately, it did not pass in the Senate, most likely due to the way session ended. So we'll be bringing that back, and I believe we will get the bill passed. But what this bill did was several things. In addition to the registry that I had in previous years, we also authorized DEP to look at a company's background that because currently if a company wants to frack, they don't have to disclose that to DEP up front. They get a conventional permit, and then they just notify them we're going to frack. DEP doesn't really have the authority to say no at that point. Mm-hmm. So what we did was in the bill we set up differentiated permitting. They have to disclose up front if they're going to use unconventional means. Beyond that, DEP is now authorized to look at their background. They were not authorized to do that before. They're authorized to deny a permit if they've got a background that shows that they're not a company that operates safely. We've given DEP the authority to increase the bonding amount. The current statute requires $1 million for 10 wells. My bill gave DEP the authority to increase that up to $5 million for those same 10 wells. And then we gave DEP the authority for fines to increase from $10,000 to $25,000. I think the most important aspect of the bill, however, was we put in a moratorium on fracking until we completed a scientific study. And the reason I say that is you mentioned in the intro that opponents to fracking say that there's no science that shows this is safe, and Florida has a unique geology.
Yes.
Florida does have a unique geology, but there's no science that says this is dangerous either. And the point is there's no science at all based on Florida. And so we need a study that's done here in Florida, and we need to find out, is this safe? Can it be done here? Will our hydrology and geology support it? And then based upon the data that we learn from the science, make decisions going forward.
And Jennifer Hecker, can you just enlighten us a little bit about what it is about Florida's geology and hydrology that does make fracking sort of a unique proposition for us compared to elsewhere in the country?
Sure. So where hydraulic fracturing is typically done are totally different rock formations than we have here in Florida with very karst porous limestone. Our softer rock, you don't necessarily have to fracture. You can also dissolve the rock to create these artificial openings to forcibly extract more oil. And so we are concerned with the use of any well stimulation treatments, not just hydraulic fracturing, but any fracking-like activities that create these artificial voids and use the same dangerous toxic fracking fluids and chemicals to forcibly remove oil from the ground, because we do have interconnected aquifers underground and there's a lot of connectivity. More than we even understand, we constantly are finding more science to show that where we're deep well injecting wastewater on the East Coast, for instance, near Miami, is getting into areas that it wasn't intended. And so that's our concern, is these chemicals, because of the porosity of our rock, may get to where they're not intended. And that's why we needed to exercise extra precaution before allowing these new well stimulation treatment techniques.
Okay. So you're not necessarily saying that the water will contaminate other sources. We're saying we don't know what's down there.
Well, that's the bottom line, is in the absence of science, what we do know is that these chemicals are extremely toxic and that many of them are known to be human cancer-causing chemicals. So we're injecting – we know that these techniques use an immense amount of water, fresh water, from usually from our prime potable water supply sources, and they mix it with these toxic chemicals. We don't believe that we should be allowing these techniques to occur in the absence of science to support that they can be done safely, and if they can be done safely, where and how they can be done. And those regulations, as Representative Rodriguez mentioned, need to be developed and put in place before we continue to allow these techniques to be expanded in use in our region. But what's happening is quite the reverse, that in the absence of science, these techniques are being permitted, and there's no legal explicit authorities right now to prevent their continued use. And that's what we were hoping to see addressed this legislative session.
And given that Representative Rodriguez's proposals, you know, he talked about that moratorium until we have the science. Is that something that the Conservancy itself could get behind, or would you perhaps want to see something more stringent?
Well, I think the number one issue we had with the bills in the end was the fact that they didn't apply to all fracking activities, only just to a small proportion of fracking. The definition was for high-pressure well stimulation over 100,000 gallons. So if you didn't use the high pressure or you didn't use over 100,000 gallons, you weren't going to be regulated. You weren't going to have the chemicals disclosed. You weren't going to be studied or those techniques suspended in these bills. We wanted the bills to be more broadly applied to all fracking-like activities, well stimulation treatments that use the same dangerous chemicals.
Mm-hmm. And Representative Rodriguez, what was a little different? You'd already referenced this before, so that's why I was asking you about what happened with the Collier Hogan well with the Dan A. Hughes company. The fracking-like technique they were using was maybe something a little different than folks up north who were hearing stories about fracking might be used to. I guess, some kind of acidification. How is that different?
Well, there's two things here, and we need to clarify that. There was a procedure they used in September, which was acidification.
Uh-huh.
That's used every day in this state on all wells, whether it's an oil well, a gas well, or a water well, which is where it is most commonly used. The DEP hired an expert to come in and look at what happened in the Collier well, Hogan well, and they found that absolutely fracking occurred. But fracking occurred on December 31st and January 1st. That was the fracking activity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have to disagree with Jennifer here. We've agreed pretty much on everything up to this point. But she just made a point earlier that fracking uses a high volume of potable water. That's absolutely true. In fact, in that December and January fracking activity that was performed on the Hogan well, they used 670,000 gallons. The U.S. Geological Survey has looked at fracking in every state that is being performed in the United States. And they found that if you're using horizontal fracking, you use about 1.2 million gallons. If you use vertical fracking, you're using 200,000 gallons. So we set a definition at 100,000 gallons, well below the floor of what the experts, the U.S. Geological Survey, has found is being used in this country. So the bill that I passed on the floor would have absolutely captured the activity that occurred at the Hogan well where fracking occurred. The expert says that what they did was acidic fracking as opposed to hydraulic fracking. This bill would have captured that. It would have also captured hydraulic fracking as well if that were to occur.
Mm-hmm. And again, going back to your proposed legislation, one of the primary criticisms that I had read about that was that it didn't include, included the chemicals. You have to list the chemicals, but not necessarily the amount or concentrations being used. Given that we are talking about toxins, known carcinogens, is that something that you would maybe consider adding in a future proposal?
Well, the only thing we exempt is what is a trade secret. And I think what most people don't understand here is that that's a federal exemption that's in the statutes. If we were to pass a state law that requires them to turn over their trade secrets, it would be challenged in court, and it would likely lose. What I'm encouraging people who don't want to see any trade exemption is they need to work with their U.S. congressmen and their U.S. senators to have that exemption removed on a federal level.
Hmm.
Until that's done, we have no option as a state. And the other thing I would say, I just want to make two quick points.
Sure.
2 years ago, I told all the environmental groups that came to me regarding the trade secret exemption. They said, we don't like this. We want to see everything. I said, I'll tell you what. This is done because it's a federal law. If you can find me language in any state that has required the disclosure of a trade secret and has sustained a court challenge, you bring me that language. I'll take my language out and I'll put your language in. In 2 years, no one's ever approached me and said, here's what you can use instead. So I think that's a red herring brought up by, and I'm not saying this is a conservancy, other environmental groups, namely the Sierra Club, because they know this is a federal law and they know we have to obey that federal law, a red herring on their part to distract people. And I want to point out something that was in my trade secret exemption bill, but I don't think most people picked up on.
Okay.
If you want to challenge a trade secret exemption now, the burden and the cost is on you. You have to hire an attorney. You have to file the court fee. You have to get the company before court. And then they go to the judge and they show the judge where what they've claimed measures up to the legal definition. Under my bill, had it passed, DEP would have everything. The company would have to turn everything over to DEP. Anything that was not a trade secret would go to Frac Focus. So as an individual, you would file a public records request with DEP. If it had been marked trademark, stamped trademark by the company, DEP would go to the company and say, your trade secret has been challenged. You now have 30 days to go to court and sustain this trade secret. And the cost would have been on the company that claimed the trade secret, not on the individual that's trying to get the public information. So what my trade secret exemption bill did was put the most protection for the consumer that could possibly be obtained. And frankly, had our bills passed, we would have had the most open and transparent process in the country. And that's all I can work for.
Mm-hmm. And Jennifer Hecker, going back to the activity at the Collier Hogan well, with the concerns about possible contamination, has there been adequate water quality monitoring at that site since fracking was discovered there?
Sure. Before I answer that, I do want to respond just to give our perspective on the acidification issue, because this is really important. Acid fracking is a form of fracking in that it uses the same fracking chemicals. It does not fracture rock. It dissolves rock with acid. And in the case of the Hogan well, there were three workovers submitted to stimulate production at that well. Two of the three would not be captured in the current regulatory bills because one didn't use the pressure, the high pressure, and the other didn't use 100,000 gallons total. It did not propose to use that much. It was only the third one that Representative Rodriguez referred to, that of the final actual hydraulic fracturing that occurred, that would have questionably met the criteria in the bill. And I say questionably only because the agency did not receive the total amount of fluid until after it was fracked. It only received stage one, which was under 100,000 gallons. So without getting too technical, the bottom line is our position is still that the majority of the fracking-like activity at the Hogan well would not be captured in these bills. And that was ultimately our number one problem. I mean, we actually wanted these bills to cover a whole bunch of different issues, to be holistic, comprehensive reform. In the end, we just ask that they just cover regulating all forms of fracking, including these other well stimulation techniques. But that being said, we've been working very hard on making sure there's proper enforcement at the Hogan well site. And we, as part of our legal settlement with DEP, got them to dig a deep groundwater monitoring well to do substantive groundwater monitoring. Because to date, all we've had is shallow monitoring that looks at 13 feet, which is completely inappropriate for looking for this type of contamination, which will be coming up from thousands of feet underground. So what we're doing right now is waiting for DEP, because those results were supposed to be made available to us by the end of February. The groundwater monitoring well was supposed to be installed by the end of January. It still has not been completed to date. So we are still awaiting the actual water quality testing results for a meaningful analysis as to whether or not there has been any groundwater contamination. And we're about to go into our second rainy season. So that's a great concern to us, is what's actually happened at the Hogan well site. It still hasn't been properly plugged and abandoned. There's still open litigation where the driller hasn't been forced to permanently plug and abandon that well, so it could potentially be reopened by other oil operators. So all of this stuff is still very much in flux, and we're still very much at risk. Sadly, we feel like we're a year now later in the same exact boat we were 18 months ago to a year ago. So we're still going to work hard, but we are really not progressing rapidly enough to address this new threat.
I mean, what are the concerns there then, that this contaminated water could potentially be, or could it be impacting our, you know, sources of potable water, water for irrigation for crops, anything like that?
Absolutely. And Representative Rodriguez brought up the fact that these new techniques do use an immense amount of water rather than conventional drilling. They use much, much more, and it's coming from our prime superficial aquifer. And once it's used, once it's mixed with these toxic chemicals, it cannot be recycled back into aquifers that we use for drinking water supplies, unlike agricultural irrigation, for instance, which waters crops and then seeps back down into our aquifers to be reused. This water has to be deep well disposed of, where hopefully it'll never come into contact with water we use again. So it's essentially lost. And you can imagine the Hogan well was permitted to use 280 million gallons a year. So if you start replicating that on a large scale, you can see that's going to be a huge new consumptive use of fresh water in Southwest Florida. Meanwhile, cities and counties are being asked to pay for alternative water supply development at millions of dollars of cost to taxpayers in our communities. And we're asking, why should we give away our prime potable water to an industrial user when we're having to pay to alternative water supply? That was one of the things we were hoping that this legislation, this session, would address, was asking these industrial users to go to alternative water supply. But unfortunately, the legislation didn't address that issue. That's something we hope to see in legislation in the future.
I disagree with that. If you go back and look at the legislation, and there's actually a couple of things that need to be cleared up here. There's a moratorium until the study is completed. Specifically in the study, we're to look at the effects of fracking on our hydrology and whether reclaimed water can be used or there are alternatives to using our fresh potable water. So this legislation did address that. There would be no fracking had this bill passed until that study was completed and we had those answers. Second, you're using two terms interchangeably, acidization and acid fracking. They're not the same. The industry will be quick to tell you they're not the same. There are three different things at play here. First is hydraulic fracking, which is what's generally used up north. Second is acid fracking, which is similar in process, but they use acids instead of chemicals. And that's used in areas that have more porous geology rather than the shale geology where hydraulic fracking is used. And third is acidification. Acidification is used daily in this state and has been for 100 years. It's used on every water well that's drilled. Right. And you hit on
something. Sorry, Representative Rodriguez. We just have just seconds left in the hour, so I do have to
Well, you can't use the two interchangeably.
Understood.
Acid fracking is different, and this bill would have absolutely identified what happened at the Collier-Hogan Rail that was recognized as fracking.
Thank you, Representative Ray Rodriguez and Jennifer Hecker with the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks. There's more information on today's show and an archive of past shows at WGCU.org. This is WGCU 90.1 FM.